Open with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 25, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming today, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to come. Thank you for those that you brought. We ask you to minister your life and healing to those that could not be here. We ask today that you help us to take inspection. I'm amazed at that verse where you said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." May we inspect ourselves and see if we have ears to hear, so we could hear what you want, so we could practically fulfill that which we just sang. That we want you to live, to experience you, because you want that. And then you want others to experience you through us. We commit this time and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Janai and Dudley had turned in some homework a while back. And now don't start looking at this when I hand it to you, okay? Look at it later. How you doing, hot dog? And when I get the homework, I pray about it and I wait on God. And then I want to be having time where I'm not rushed, where I can take and pray over every word that you wrote. And when I write comments, like a lot of the stuff in there, most everything in there or all of it is good. But sometimes I write comments, I'm in agreement with you. Sometimes I'm challenging you. Sometimes I'm just challenging another thought and something. I was looking at yours yesterday and I was like, okay, Lord, you want me to write all this? You know, what do you want me to say? Whatever. And it was like, it's still baking. So it's like, he gave me some things. I was looking at Tom's yesterday, and I started praying over yours and writing over yours, but I didn't finish. But I'm letting you know, when you turn in homework, I'm not just filing it, you know, in the circular file or file 13, which is trash can. I keep every one of them, just like when the kids turn in pictures to me, you know, or I want to share pictures, you know. This is for you. You know, it's like I receive it because they just put their life into that. It's just a little expression. And the older I get, the more I realize how important it is of the things people say and things people do. We have something going on here today at 3. Do you know what that is? Does anybody not know what it is? Okay, well, I asked the Lord this morning, I had no clue, as usual, what He wanted to say this morning, if He wanted to say anything through me, you know. Most Sundays it's not what they taught me in Bible college. It's not like what I used to do when we started our first church, and I would spend anywhere from 20 to 40 hours per sermon putting them together. It's not like that. It's hanging out with Jesus. It's reading where He leads you to read. It's praying where He leads you to pray. It's ministering to those that He puts in your life. But it's you and Him hanging out, minister. It's you and Him hanging out. That's what it's about. It's us hanging out with Jesus. It's us and Jesus. Without Him, there's no life. You can exist without Him, but you can't live without Him. It's hanging out with Him. I want you to look in Luke chapter 10. Let's start with verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou? Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he, the lawyer, said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. There is so much in this. If you want to learn how to preach or teach or just get more out of the Scripture, I'm going to give you a few things real quick, and then we're going to talk about this lesson. Number one, whenever you go to read something like this, read it before you write anything down, before you mark any verses, read it through several times, maybe 10 times. Just read that passage 10 times or a chapter. Read it through. You could ask, who is talking? You could ask, who is being talked to? All of these things are pertinent. They're important. Look for repeated phrases or words. Of course, ask God to open your eyes to see what He wants you to see. And then ask Him, how does this apply to my life? We'll go over these things again sometime, but I'm just giving you ideas right now, okay? Go back to verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. A lawyer stood up and tempted him. In Isaiah 45, I believe it's verse 9, it says, Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. This guy stood up and tempted Jesus. Tried to test him. Tried to put him in his place. People do that. We need to be careful that it's not us. And he stood up and he tempted Jesus and he said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What is the word inherit? Inherit, a plot, imply. Do you have an idea? What does the word inherit imply? How do you inherit something? Okay, by being related. What? Being related by blood. Handed down. Sorry? A gift you didn't earn. Well, look at the question. What? How's it read? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? How do I inherit eternal life? Yes, sir. Someone has to die. I don't know if anybody's getting any of this. I'm not supposed to spend all my time on all of this. I wish I could. There's so much I want to say. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do? That means somebody's got to die. That means I need to be related. It means something is going to be passed down. It means I get something I didn't deserve. Is anybody getting the picture? And Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? In one of my notes in how to train ministers or how to minister is when people talk to you, ask them two questions. One, what does the Scripture have to say about what you're saying? Well, I'm going through this with my husband or my wife, blah, blah, blah. Well, what does the Bible say about it? Number two, what is God telling you? Do you have a real relationship with Him? Because God's a Jabberjaws, remember? I was made in His image. So, God's a Jabberjaws. God talks all the time. So, what's God telling you? Did you ask Him? So, because a lot of times when people call you, they're not looking for an answer. They're looking for compassion. They're looking for empathy. They're looking for understanding. They're looking for somebody to take their side. They're looking for somebody to vent to. We all go through the same thing. Are you hearing me? Jesus said, what is written in the law? What does the Word have to say? And then He said, how readest thou? We're all responsible for what's in this Word. We're responsible. He said, how do you read it? What do you get out of it? Are you with me? And the man answering said, he already knew the answer. The man answering said, it's like those Jews that were yelling at me on the bus last year in Jerusalem. And they were accusing me of not keeping the law because one of their questions was, do you pray after you eat? And they didn't like the way I answered it. I said, yeah, I pray before I eat, while I'm eating, and after I eat, because I love to eat. And they screamed at me and said, you're not keeping the law. And I'm like, Lord, what do I say to them? And I said, can I ask you a question? And they said, yeah. I said, is there anything bigger than loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? This is in Deuteronomy, by the way. Jesus didn't make that up. I said, is there anything bigger than loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and loving your neighbors yourself? And they weren't really listening. They weren't really caring what I had to say. They just wanted to continue arguing. And an older one of them stepped forward, and I don't know what he said, because maybe he's spoken in Hebrew. I don't know. Or maybe I just didn't hear it clearly on the bus, this public bus crammed with people. But whatever he said, those two guys just backed up, sat right down and got real quiet. And the older man came and sat in a chair right in front of me, and he said, what he said, there's nothing bigger than. I couldn't argue with him. I don't know the whole Levitical law and every all 613 of those and whatever that they have memorized. And I mean, I know the Word, but I know the Spirit. And I know the Word that God wants me to know, but I don't have every little jot and tittle memorized. But this lawyer, Jesus said, what is written in the law? He was talking to a lawyer. You got to talk to people where they're at. When he talked to farmers, he talked about fields. You follow what I'm saying? You talk to people where they're at. They don't need to just hear a bunch of religious jargon and mumbo jumbo that we say all the words. You know, when I got saved, I remember the guy that led me to the Lord, that big old mountain man, right after I got saved, and I'm like, I've just met Jesus! And my motorcycle was in the shop, so he had to drop me at a certain corner, and I was waiting for one of my roommates to come pick me up, because I got saved at 7:55, and then at 8 o'clock, my roommate was going to pick me up at a certain corner. So when he dropped me off on the corner, I had just met God, and I was so excited, so I didn't know how to say all the religious words. So I just kept yelling, hot dog and hallelujah, I just met Jesus. That's all I knew. I didn't know all the right words, you know. I didn't know you were supposed to sit there like this and act like you're being tortured because you're a Christian. You know, I didn't know you're supposed to act like that. I didn't know you're supposed to, you know, the way most people look, if you're standing up here and you look at people's faces, you know. I didn't know you're supposed to act like that. I didn't know you're supposed to, you know, say all these certain words and, yes, dear brother, we are sanctified, and all these words, whatever. I don't even know what you're supposed to say. I still don't know. I've been doing this 35 years. I still don't know because I don't care. I care about Jesus. This lawyer, Jesus says, what is written, lawyer, in the law? How do you read it? What do you get out of it? And he said, well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. And Jesus said, you're right on. You hit the nail on the head squarely. He said, if you'll do this, you will have life. But the lawyer wanted to justify himself. The lawyer, don't we call it jade? Justify, argue, defend, and explain. Instead of being teachable, instead of humbling himself, instead of considering what Jesus said, see, he had already stood up and wanted to tempt Jesus. He had already stood up in the face of God, challenging him. And now, because he wants to justify himself, he wants to look good in front of the people. He wants to like try to put it back on Jesus. He said, well, then who is my neighbor? I think it's quite noteworthy that Jesus goes through this whole story that probably applied personally to people that were in the group. And when he got all done, Jesus said, now, who's your which one was the neighbor? And the guy, he didn't need Jesus to tell him. The guy told him, oh, well, the one that showed mercy. He was the neighbor. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. You see, people don't need to know a lot more. We're not Christian encyclopedias. Sometimes we just listen to the Word or read the Word. Sorry, I didn't mean to kick your toy. At least it got back to you. People don't need to know more. A lot of times we just... See, it's real good to read the Word and it's real good to listen to the Word. And I love doing that. I love doing that. I love that. I don't even know how to tell you how much I love that. I love the Word of God. But sometimes we're hearers and not doers. If we're not doing something with what we're hearing, what good is it? Are you with me? We've got something that, because I didn't know what God wanted to talk about today, if He wanted me to talk, whatever. And He's like, go to the Good Samaritan. I'm like, Lord, I'm not even sure where that is. I think it's in the book of Luke, but He's like, just go there. I want to show you some things. I'm like, okay. So I just went and read it like about 10 times or whatever. I don't even know. Maybe 20. I don't know. And He's just showing me all kinds of stuff. Do you notice in here there's three groups? There's the lawyer, there's a priest, and there's a Levite. These are people more well-to-do. These are people that have more social influence or affluence is the proper term, I think. Okay? You have the person who gets hurt. You know anybody that's hurting? You know anybody that's gotten hurt? Or it's hurting right now? And then you have the one that was willing to let God minister to that person's need. That's why I call you ministers. A minister is not just someone who stands up front. By the way, it was awesome today when you, Tana, let God minister through you. It was awesome when you guys, right in the beginning, were just ushering in God and letting God flow. It was neat watching that and experiencing that. Because that was you letting God flow through you. That's what meets another's need. That's what ministers to somebody. So we have a minister, we have a hurting person, and then we have three that were in a group that were basically untouched by the needs of others. Did you notice that when the one guy, maybe I'm supposed to go through it this way. Let's see, how do you want me to do this, Lauren? Let's go back to verse 26 when Jesus said, what's written in the law? How readest thou? And He said, you know, you need to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then He said, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you're right. You answered exactly right. You already know. He said, now go do it. Now go live it. And He's like, well, wait a minute. I don't want people to think I'm stupid why I asked this question. I don't want people to... I care about what people think about me. So let me say, well, who's my neighbor? And instead of Jesus just telling them who the neighbor is. I remember when Glenn and Roxanne, we were doing the church in that building, and Glenn and Roxanne first put them in there, and they're ministering there, and they would run into stuff, and Glenn would call me, I don't know, 5-10 times a day, whatever. Man, we ran into this situation, or this person's here, and they want that, or whatever. What do we do? I'm not sure what to do. And I'd pray, and in the beginning, God would say, okay, you're here as a paraclete. You're here as the Holy Spirit. You're here as one that comes along and helps them. Helps Glenn to walk along. So I would say, well, Glenn, why don't we... What if we did this? What if we told him that? What if we didn't do this? What if we did this? And Glenn's like, man, yeah. And Glenn's like thinking, man, this is great. You know? This is so God. And then as time went on and Glenn would call, God said to me, there came a point where God said, and this is how I see Jesus training people, and this is what I try to do. I'm sorry if I don't do it better. It's the best. I'm still learning myself. But what I did was I would say, well, Glenn, how readest thou? What is written in the law? You know, what does the Word say, Glenn, concerning this? I'm not sure. And I would say, well, what if you looked over in Luke 10 and read Luke 10 and then call me back. Tell me, what do you think the Word says about this? Because he didn't know where to go. I got a whole Bible. I don't know where the answer is. But here, go look at this. And then, but call me back and let me know what you get out of it. Well, man, it's real clear after he reads it. This is what God wants. And I'm like, sounds good to me. Sounds like God to me. Because he made a decision based on the Scripture. Not based on his feelings. Not based on emotions. Not based on what everybody else says or does. What does the Word have to say? The other thing I would say, Glenn, did you pray? Did you ask God? Well, no. I said, you think He knows? I said, you think He cares about you? Well, yeah. I said, you think He'd talk to you? Oh, man. I said, so why don't you go ask Him? And then call me back and let me know. Meanwhile, I pray, God tell me whatever God told me. Because I would say, God, I know what I know, but I lay it all down. Because what I know, it's only like a quiver of arrows. I don't know which arrow to pull out for this particular situation. You see, we're not supposed to just fill up with this knowledge and then tell God, like, do you know what I used to tell God? God, I don't need You on this. I'll take care of this one. Because I know there's a lot of other people that need Your help. And this is a little thing. I can handle it. I got it all figured out. I don't want you to see that video when you get to heaven. It's a whole series. Okay? That was a long-running series. That's right. It was called the Long Suffering of God series. You know? I don't want you to see that video. It's most of my life, okay? Unfortunately. You don't even need popcorn. You need a lunch, you know what I mean? Or a dinner, full course. Okay? But that's what I used to do. I used to tell God for years. I did. I told Him. I said, I got it. I already know what to do here. I didn't ask Him. I said, God, all those other people need You more than I got this one. I'll take the load off of You. I'll handle this job. You know, He just kept loving me. He didn't give up on me. He didn't go, you know, that guy is a knucklehead. Jesus, would You give me some Bayer aspirin, please? You know. Jesus, would You just take the helm? I need to go take a nap for a while. That dude OD's me, you know. I mean, He didn't act like that at all. He was just so kind. And He would just look at me. And it's like when that rich young ruler, I think it's Matthew 19, I believe is where it says it. He came running up to Jesus. And He says, good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And it says, and Jesus beheld him and loved him. He could have said, oh man, you think you did it all? What do I need to do? Well, what does the Word say? Well, here's the first 6 commandments. But I've done them all from my youth up. I've kept everyone perfectly. He's like, oh man. He didn't say that. It says, while He beheld him, He just loved him. He just loved on him. In the midst of where we are, He just loves us. So the lawyer says, you know, love God with everything and love your neighbors yourself. And he said, well, go do this. And he goes, but who's my neighbor? So Jesus tells him the story. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Now, I didn't pull out my map this morning, but if I remember correctly, being in Israel last year, Jerusalem, if you're looking at the map, Jerusalem is here. The Mediterranean's over here. And what's the name of that city that you had to go to, the whole country? Tel Aviv You know? Tel Aviv's over here in about 40 miles or whatever, and here's Jerusalem, because it's a real small country. It's real narrow and long. But to the right, to the east of Jerusalem is Jericho, if I remember. Why does it say go down? And that came to my attention this morning, because Jericho's only, if I can remember correctly, it was only like 25 or 30 miles to Jericho. Why? But it was to the east. It wasn't south. So why does he say go down? Topographically, if you look at the map, Jerusalem was like built like on a hill, okay, or a high area. But it's like the mountain of God. See, when we come to God, we go up. And anything from God is going down. That's why we need to live in His presence, not visit. You want to come up. You want to be lifted up. You understand? You want to look up. But this man, and we're not judging him. I'm just trying to help you understand something. People in life, they go down. When Jonah, it says, when God told him what to do, and he's like, I'm related to Ford. I got a better idea. I'm not going to do that. It says he went down to Tarshish. But that wasn't low enough. He went down to the bottom of the ship. And that still wasn't enough because he still wasn't getting it. So he had to go down into the big fish's mouth and then go down to the bottom of the sea so God could get his attention. See, God will do whatever it takes because he loves us. He's committed to us to the end. Whatever it takes. But he went down. Go look it up. I didn't write it. It's in the book of Jonah. It's only four chapters, but it's in chapter one. And you'll see, he went down, he went down, he went down, he went down. With this man, in Luke 10, this man, he went down from Jerusalem. And he fell among thieves. And that's what happens with us in this life. We don't always follow God. We kind of get away from God. How do I say this, Lord? If we hang out with Him, when you're in His presence, have you ever come in here and you got pain and we start doing worship? And you get caught up in that, where'd your pain go? It went away, didn't it? You don't remember it, did you? Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever experienced that? When we're with God, when we're hanging out with God, when we're in His presence, it says, I think it's Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. I just read another one this morning. And he said something like, in my presence is fullness of life, or something like that. I think it was in John, whatever. All I know is that when I'm with God, it's like everything else. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, when I'm in His presence, I know everything's okay. I know He's going to take care of me. I don't know how He's going to take care of me. I don't know how the last chapter's going to look. I don't even know what the chapters are going to look before I get to the last chapter. But I know if I'm with Him, everything's okay. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm glad that you come here. I'm glad that you enter into worship. I want you to just consider, let's live there. Let's live in His presence. Let's live beholding His face. Let's live feeling His beard on the back of our head or His breath on the back of our neck. Let's live here. Let's keep our focus on Him because we have all kinds of troubles that come toward us. And we could get overwhelmed by them. I hear of them all the time. They're in my life and then I hear from them in all your lives. Whatever it is, whether it's your kids or your finances or your health or whatever it is. But in His presence. You see, it's not bigger than Him, is it? I'll never forget 1977. Harvey, I want you to know me by a new name. Jesus, what's that? I like your name, Jesus. But you want me to know you by a new name? And he said, yeah. I said, what is it? I've never, in these 34 years since then, heard any other preacher ever say it. But God said it to me. And I'm sharing it with you. He said, I want you to know me by a new name. I said, what is it? He said, capital letter, N-M, need meter. He said, I am bigger than any need you have. I am bigger than any need you have. Whatever your need, I'm bigger than it. And one thing you maybe have heard me say, maybe once or twice, is he got up from the dead. What couldn't he do? So bring it to him. Whatever it is. Is it that relationship that's like way too hard and you think they'll never change? Is it that job situation? Is it the finances? Is it the car? What is it? Is it the kids? I love them. But Lord, bring them to Him. Whatever it is, get them in His hands. This man, a certain man, Jesus said, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come, they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. He said, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This man went down, left Jerusalem, went about to do whatever he wanted, and he fell among thieves. The devil came along and wanted to sift him as wheat. And remember we talked about that sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay? Well, that's what this guy was thinking while he was laying on the road. Because it said they stripped him. You want to be stripped by people? I wonder what they stripped him of. Not, it says here, of his raiment. They wounded him. You think they just hurt him a little bit? And then they departed, leaving him half dead. He was left all alone. You ever been lonely? You ever wondered? You feel like you're all alone? And by chance, see, chance in Ecclesiastes, it says, happens to us all. By chance, Jesus said, there was a certain priest that came that way. He came, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Remember what the lawyer said earlier? Love God with all your heart. What kind of heart did this priest, this anointed servant of God, what kind of heart did he have that he could see somebody beat up, laying there, and he walked by and he saw him, so he made sure he walked on the other side? What kind of heart did he have? We talked about three different groups here. We've all been in the group where we've been hurt, we've been abandoned, we've been wounded. Right? Okay? And then when some people walk by that could have helped us, they're even called to help us. And what did they do? They walked by on the other side. And then a certain Levite, someone else that served God, somebody who was a servant in the church, a Levite, when he was at that place, he came and looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. Have you ever been driving and you saw a car accident? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. And what did you notice Before you got to the accident, did you notice all the cars that were backed up and everybody was moving real slow? Sorry? Okay, follow what I'm going to say. And we got somebody over here hurting. And what do all the people do in the cars? Why do they slow down? Is it because they care and they're concerned and they don't want to hurt anybody? Or is it because they're all gawkers and onlookers and want to stare? Oh, we didn't get to see that on TV. Oh, we didn't get to get that close. Oh, look, let's stop our car and park for a while. Pass the potato chips. Wow, look at, there's blood. I was at GM one time, and I used to take my jar of, what's that called? Soup, and put it on a machine in a room right behind where I worked. And this machine got real hot, and it heated up my soup. And I would put it in there like an hour ahead of time, and then I would, when it was time for lunch, I'd go in there and get my, you know, get it out. Well, right before lunch, all of a sudden all these medics come rushing in and go through this door, and I never saw anybody go into that room where the machines were, except the guys that oiled the machines or whatever. They came out with a stretcher. A guy had gone in there, and instead of being careful and doing what he was taught to do, see, when you work on machines in a machine shop or something, what you do is they give you locks. When you're like an electrician, a maintenance guy, a plumber, whatever, they give you locks. Why? And if you've ever seen those machines, there's a place on the side you turn the power off, and then they got all these little holes, and you put your lock in there. So while you're working on the machine, nobody could turn the machine on while you're working on it because you could get hurt. So every worker on that machine during that time has their lock on it. And as each one gets done, they remove the lock and pull it off. Isn't this kind of neat? Y'all are learning something you didn't, probably a lot of you didn't know. Well, he didn't lock the machine out. That's what it's called. He didn't lock the machine out. He thought, I'm just doing something quick. I can just reach in there and grab it. But when he reached in there to grab it, the machine cycled and took his arm off. So they brought him out on a stretcher. And I'm like, watching, what? What's all this commotion going over there? And they bring out another, I don't remember if it was a stretcher or they brought it out in a bag, but they brought out his arm. We have all these people that just look at what's going on. Look at, you know, oh, it's terrible. She ran off with who? Oh, it's terrible. They lost her job. Oh, pass the ketchup. What happened? I wonder what's on Channel 7. Here's somebody laying in need. Here's somebody that's in our life and they have need. And we see these people that are anointed. Men of God. People in the church. Levites. Servants. Outer court ministers. Busy about doing what they're, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. But they see somebody in need in their practical everyday life while they're walking to where they're supposed to go. Well, I don't have time for this. I got to go over here. I got an appointment. Isn't that more important? I'm on my way to work. I can't stop and help this person. I have been driving down the road, seen an accident happen right in front of me. Have you ever had this happen? And you pull off to see what you could do to help? Have you ever done that? Or do you just like, no, I got to go to work. No, this is important. I'm going to buy some toys for my kids. You know, we got priorities here. But you know what happened in verse 33? A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed through life, he came where this person was, And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Please write down 1 John chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Look them up later. 1 John 3, 13 to 18. 1 John 4, 20 to 21. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where this man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. It means his bowels yearned. You ever seen that? You ever had your bowels yearn? You ever had your heart break? God, please break my heart for what breaks yours. What breaks his heart? Hurting people, created in his image, that he died for. We want to save the whales and save the porpoises and save the porcupines. And I'm sorry. That's okay, that's fine if we keep it in perspective. But we turn around and abort millions of babies a year that Jesus died for? He didn't die for the porcupine. He didn't die for the whales. I'm sorry that they have oil slicks. I'm not against whales and porpoises and the fish, and that breaks my heart. They did the oil spills, and that they happen all over the world, and it's terrible what we do. But what is on God's heart? So what should be on our heart? What is on God's heart? Do you know? Whoa! Why am I talking here, Lord? Why do you have me talking? I don't even know. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him. What does that look like in my life? Every day. What does that look like? He went to him. He bound up his wounds. Here's the Band-Aid. Good enough. I'm busy. Is that what we're supposed to do? It says he poured in oil and wine. Doesn't it? And then it says, and he set him on his own beast. Well, I can't pick them up and put them in my car. They're bleeding all over the place. It would get on my upholstery. It could ruin my carpet. I don't want to get that blood on me. I know. I'll dial 911. Nothing wrong with that. But like somebody in their homework said to me or wrote in there, they said, you know, if we as the church were doing what we should be doing, we wouldn't need the government to try to bail us out and to do all these things. We would be meeting each other's needs. It'd almost be like something I read somewhere. Please help me to remember where. I don't remember what book it was in, but it said something about that people would know that we were followers of Jesus if we loved one another. And what does love look like? So he put him on his own beast, and he brought him to a motel, an inn. Oh no, this can't mean what it says. It says he took care of him. It can't mean that. It can't mean that. That would cost him something. That would cost him time and energy and money. It says he took care of him. This guy's been traveling all day. He's tired. He sees somebody. He picks them up. Takes them to a hotel. Do I need to stop so that y'all can see all the little kids and smile? Or can I continue? Let me know. I'm just waiting because so many were. I just lost them when all the kids came in. They just wanted to look at them. They've never seen kids before. Okay. Are you ready? He sees this guy laying there. It's been a long day. He's got things to do. He's on an agenda. He's tired. He wants to go to a hotel and rest. And instead, he's got to pick this guy up. He doesn't get to ride. He has to put him on his beast, takes him. You know, he first cares for him, does whatever he can right there, because he was a good Boy Scout and learned all that stuff, you know. And then he takes him to a hotel. He pays the bill. He doesn't search the guy's. He doesn't rifle his pockets. Remember, the guy was just robbed. He doesn't rifle his pockets to have him pay the bill. Hey, you got a credit card? You don't? Well, I'm sorry. You need to call welfare. You know? He paid the bill. He took him in. He lost his life for this guy. What does love look like? And then, at the end, on the next day, he wakes up the next morning, takes care of him in the morning, and he says, look, I'm on a journey, I got to go. And see, you got to follow God. You can't take any of these things I'm saying as a burden. You have to ask God, God, what do you want me to do in each situation? Glenn and I have a story we call the story of Joe. When we were doing the building, and these people came, and the guy's name was Joe. They came here a few times, or when we had the building. And I don't remember the girl's name or whatever, the lady, Karen. I wasn't trying to go all there. They had a bunch of little kids. And they come to us with this desperate, we're going to lose our house today. We have to have, first it was $300, and then when we were going to help them, it turned into $600 is what we ended up doing. But, I mean, they would have just kept the list going, you know, if we'd have let them. But we learned somebody else's emergency doesn't necessarily mean that God's called us to meet it. You got to ask God in each situation what to do. Don't take what I'm saying today as a burden. Every time I see somebody, I got to stop. Oh no, preacher said I shouldn't just drive by and gawk like everybody else. I need to pull over and see what I can do. No, you got to ask God. When I used to pick up hitchhikers, which I don't do hardly anymore, but I don't hardly see hitchhikers, except for I picked one up the other day, but I don't normally pick them up, but I used to pick up everyone I ever saw, it seemed like. And then God taught me, you got to ask me which ones to pick up. And you got to ask me which ones to help. And you got to ask me what I want to do. We got to be led by the Spirit. He took 2 pence, 2 pennies. It was a coin, a silver coin in the Roman Empire called a denarius. And according to Matthew chapter 20, when Jesus talks about the laborers that were sent into the vineyard, I believe a denarius was like equal to 1 day's wage. How much would you make in a day? $50, $100, $150, depending on what you make. So let's say you make $100 a day. You know, you get a $600 paycheck or whatever at the end of the week. Okay, whatever it is. He took 2 days' wages after taking care of this guy, gave it to the innkeeper and says, I've got to go. God's given me liberty. I've done what I was supposed to do. I've got him here. I've paid the bill. Here's 2 days' wages. I want you to take care of him. And anything you spend, he didn't put him on an expense account. He said, anything you spend, you let me know. And when I come back, I will repay you. I'll take care of his debt. Then Jesus said, I want you to look at verse 36. He's talking to the lawyer. Which now of these three men thinkest thou? Which now of these three men, lawyer, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? See, the lawyer had asked him, who's my neighbor? Jesus told him a story and said, now, Mr. Lawyer, who do you think the neighbor was? He said, well, him that showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. Go and do. 7 letters there. Go and do.